Amen. Good morning. Good to see all of you this morning at our 11 o'clock service. Exodus chapter 3 this morning. We are beginning a sermon series on Sunday mornings. God has something for you. It's really a continuation of our spiritual life weekend, where Pastor Mike shared about the call of Isaiah, and Nicole and I teamed up on the call of Jeremiah, and then that Sunday, I shared thoughts on the call of Jonah. And for the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at other invitations of God, calls of God, if you will, upon people in the Bible. And today we're going to talk about Moses. And even on our Christmas Eve service this year, whichever service you come to, we're going to be looking at the call of Joseph and Mary that God placed upon that young couple. But today we are talking about one of the great figures, if you will, in the Bible, a very familiar story to many. But I want to zero in on what God has laid on my heart to share with you today, and that is it revolves around this call that God had placed upon Moses that is primarily revealed to us in the first 12 verses of Exodus chapter 3. But I do want us, we're going to take note of what happens in Exodus chapter 1 and 2, because the first point of my message is this. We see that Moses' calling, his calling, was set within the context of his entire lifetime. And I want you to keep that in mind for you too. Remember, this title of this series is God Has Something for You. So it's not just God has something for Moses and God has something for Isaiah. No, God has something for you. That in each and every season of our life, God has a part for each of us, his children, to play in his kingdom. And it is my hope and prayer that throughout this series, all of us will be encouraged to say yes to whatever God is inviting us to be a part of. And to realize that the encouragement that we get from looking at these stories within the Bible hopefully will bring us to a place where we say, you know what, God, if that's what you're inviting me to be a part of, then so be it. I will follow your plan, your purpose, and be a part of what you want me to be a part of in this particular season. In Moses' case, even though God came to him in Exodus chapter 3, in the form of a burning bush that we will look at in just a few moments, and made a formal call to Moses, we have to understand, just as we would in our lives, that that calling was set in the context of his entire lifetime. Because if you know the story of Moses, let's go back to the events of Exodus chapter 1. There was a Pharaoh that rose in Egypt who felt threatened by the growing population of Israel. So threatened that he commanded the midwives and then really anyone in his kingdom, if you come across a Hebrew male child, you are to drown them in the Nile River. You are to exterminate all Hebrew male children that are born. It is within that historical context that Moses is born, that God brings forth with his parents. He blesses them with this child. And because he was born during that time, it tells us in Exodus chapter 2 that his mother hid him for several months. But then after that, when he started to grow and she could no longer hide him, that she literally puts him in a papyrus basket, a literal ark, and sets him afloat upon the Nile River. Isn't it interesting that the very means by which the other Hebrew male children were drowned was also the very means by which God would use to get Moses to safety, if you will. It is a reminder that God is sovereign, that God rules, that God has the last word. Pharaoh did not have the last word. God did. And so God was watching over Moses in his providence, protecting Moses, providing for him, and going to begin to prepare him for the calling that he was going to give 80 years later. Because we know, as followers of God, it was no coincidence or accident that when Moses was set afloat in that ark on the Nile River, that he would just happen to come to the princess of Egypt, Pharaoh's daughter. And that instead of her seeing that, oh, this is a Hebrew male child and my father has commanded that they be drowned in the Nile, so I need to drown him too, that her heart went out to this child. And she wanted to have him and raise him as her own. And then it gets even better. Again, how God is in all the details of Moses' life. So that his sister, Moses' sister, is right there and offers for someone to nurse him and raise him in those youngest days. And it just so happens that Pharaoh's daughter, the princess of Egypt, says, "That's great. And not only that, I'll pay you to do it." So here's Moses' mother now, who gets to nurse her own child, be with her child, raise her child, and get paid by the princess of Egypt to do it, which she would have done anyway. Shows you again how God provides and how God is in every detail of this, you see. And then, after a period of time, he not only has grown to begin and will continue to learn about his own people, the Hebrews, their language, their culture, their history, their God, but then is sent back to the princess of Egypt to be raised in the palaces of Egypt, to know their history, their culture, their language, their background as well. And you can begin to see then how absurd it is when Moses objects to God's call, because he was actually the perfect person to do this. I mean, here's a man who has an understanding of both peoples. I mean, talk about a God who, again, doesn't call us out of isolation with all the other events and experiences in our life, but actually brings them in as part of the call and makes them part of the call, so that in Moses' entire lifetime is actually a preparation for that particular moment, you see. I want us to take that in for our own lives as well. There is nothing about our life that is wasted or purposeless when it comes to God. Every experience that we go through, everything that we've been trained to do and been a part of, and all of that is part of what God is bringing us through, so that as he invites us to things, as he summons us to partner with him, as he calls us in different seasons and in every season of our life, there's a reason why God has watched over us, protected us, provided for us, and prepared us for these different moments, you see. God doesn't make mistakes. So if God comes to us at any and every season of our life and says, "I want you to do this for me," again, how absurd it is that we as human beings somehow think, "I'm not the right person for that," when our entire lifetime has been devoted by God to bring us to that point, so that we're not just a choice, we're actually the perfect choice for that, you see. Because again, as Moses' life teaches us, our calling is always set within the context of our entire life. In fact, when you get to the formal call, Moses is now 80 years old. He spent 40 years in Egypt, then 40 years outside of Egypt, all the while learning things, growing, experiencing things that would make him the proper choice, the best choice to lead God's people out of Egypt. That's who God is. And that's why all of us should trust God enough that he knows what he's doing. In your life today, realize he's watched over you since you were born. He has been with you through every step of your life. All the experiences, all the preparation, all the training, so that whatever God is stirring in you right now, whatever God is inviting you to be a part of in this season of your life, all of that is carried along with it, you see. That brings us then to Exodus chapter 3, where we see something else about Moses' call that also translates to us as well. And that is, not only is Moses' call set in the context of his entire lifetime, his call is set within the events of everyday life. His call is set within the events of everyday life. Moses wasn't doing anything special that day he encountered God. It wasn't like Moses got up that day and said, you know what? God's going to appear to me in a burning bush. And my whole life is going to change. The whole trajectory of my life is going to change today. No, he had no clue that that was going to happen to him. All it says in chapter 3 is he was shepherding, which is what he had been doing for years. He went from being the prince of Egypt to just a shepherd. And where was he? It tells us he was on the backside of the desert, the far side of the desert. It's also a reminder that God can find us wherever we are. In fact, it's not like he even has to look for us. He always knows where we're at. You see? Here's Moses going from, you know, the big metropolis, if you will, of ancient Egypt and all the glory of that kingdom and whatever. And now he's all by himself with just a bunch of sheep on the far side of the desert. But God knows where he's at. God knows what's going on. And so here's Moses just doing what he would normally do every day. And that's when God breaks in. That's when God intervenes in a miraculous way in his life. In fact, we just sung about how, you know, God is a God of miracles. And you even think about the events of Moses' life and how there were miracle after supernatural stuff that was going on from the time Moses was born. That's true of us too. We just many times we don't notice it or take note of it. And sometimes I think as Christians, we think we have to be somewhere special or be doing something special for God to do something special. No. Moses was just doing what he did every day. It's religious people who think that they have to, you know, do something extreme or exceptional or deny themselves in a very, you know, hyper way or whatever for God to be able to stir and work in their life. No, I mean, that can happen. I'm not saying God can't do it that way. But most of the time, when you study the calls of God in the Bible, when God breaks into somebody's life and he invites them to do something for him, they're just doing what they've done every day. And that's what was true of Moses. He was simply shepherding the sheep that he had always done for years on the backside of the desert. And here comes God. Here comes God. So I hope that will encourage you. You may wake up one day and think, today's just going to be like every day. I've got this planned, I've got that planned or whatever. And all of a sudden, God breaks in. In fact, that might even be true today. You might be here today doing what you would normally do on a Sunday morning, just showing up at church. But God has some special message for you today. God has some special moving in your life that he wants to do today. That's who our God is. And I love that about our God. He moves within our everyday routine and our everyday life. Now that brings us to the primary part of the message today, that we see that Moses' calling is set within the context of his entire lifetime and that Moses' calling was set within the events of everyday life. Moses' calling is also here in chapter 3 set within a very personal, intimate encounter with God. His calling is set within a very personal, intimate encounter with God. And that will be true of us too. And it starts with, it says in Exodus chapter 3, with the angel of the Lord appearing within a burning bush that is on fire and yet not consumed. Let me say something first of all about the person who's appearing here. It is the angel of the Lord, not an angel, but the angel of the Lord. That means this is a pre-Bethlehem appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason I want to take time to say that out loud here in the message today is because even in my lifetime, there's a growing number of Bible colleges and seminaries and ministries and pastors who are continually and growing to continually deny the existence of Jesus in the Old Testament. We need to say that, no, Jesus appeared in the Old Testament. He is part of the biblical narrative from Genesis through Revelation, not just the New Testament. He didn't get his start in Bethlehem. So there's that. But notice in this encounter how God comes to him. He comes to him in a burning bush that's on fire. Now, Moses, being a shepherd, shepherding in desert area, was used to seeing burning bushes. I mean, we know wildfires, spontaneous combustion of that happened all the time. It wasn't like it was unusual to see a burning bush. What was unusual is when Moses looked at this bush for just a few seconds, he realized it was burning but not being consumed. That's what got his attention. By the way, God coming to Moses in the form of a fire, if you will, is not unusual. In the Bible, many times the presence of God appears in some form of fire. I mean, even later on in the story of the Israelites, he leads them as a pillar of fire by night, literally a tornadic, like, fire column, if you will. Why did God do this? Well, if you just go up to a few verses, you see that it was when God saw that Moses turned aside to see this sight, that's when God began to speak. The greater revelation here isn't the burning bush. The greater, more truer revelation of God to Moses was his word, just as like it is with us. So what was the purpose of the bush? The purpose of the bush was to get Moses' attention. You see, God wants our attention. In fact, he wants our undivided attention. And until he gets our attention, he's not going to speak, because God doesn't waste his time, his breath, or his words. So God wants to make sure that before I begin to speak to Moses, I'm going to have his attention. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is there a burning bush in your life right now? Is there something that God is using in your life to get your attention so that you will pay attention to him and listen to what he's about to say to you or what he wants to say to you? Yes, it might not be a bush that doesn't get consumed, but God can use all kinds of situations, circumstances, people, all kinds of things to get our attention. He knows how to do it better than anyone or anybody. And that's the purpose of the burning bush. Never forget, God wants our attention, our undivided attention. And it's very important to note that even God says in his word, when Moses turned aside, when he saw that Moses was willing to pay attention, that's when God began to speak. And as God began to speak to Moses, what is it that he primarily said to Moses in this encounter? First thing, he told Moses how Moses needed to approach him. Notice he says, Moses, you're on holy ground, so take off your shoes. I am holy other. You need to have a proper understanding, a proper reverence and respect for who it is that you are approaching. You can't just come to me however you want to come to me. And I need to stop you right there, dead in your tracks, before you just barge in and get consumed, you see. This is a consistent message with God throughout his word to people. You know, we would say that we believe today that the only way we can approach God is through Jesus Christ, through his blood, through his sacrifice. We cannot approach God any other way. We don't have the privilege of approaching God in prayer or entering into his presence apart from Jesus Christ. He is our way. There's only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so God has to teach all of us, this is how you must approach me, because I am a holy God. So that's the first thing he speaks to Moses about. Second, he begins to communicate to Moses about who he is. I am the God of your ancestor Abraham, Isaac, ancestors Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am. Later on, who should I say sent me? I am that I am. Okay? Here's the thing about Moses at this point in his life. He had a pretty good understanding of what it meant to be Hebrew. He had a pretty good understanding of what it meant to be Egyptian. But there was no way he could fulfill the calling that God had for his life without first getting to know his God. And that's true of us too. Before God sends us out, he calls us to himself. We have to begin before we can represent God out there in the world or in the church and do whatever we're doing for God. We've got to continually grow in our understanding of who he is. And that's what God does here. After he tells Moses, this is how you approach me, then he begins to communicate, this is who I am. You see. And as you follow the chapter down through, you find out that God then says to Moses, I have a plan. And God will always, as he's inviting us to do something, will say, here's my plan right now in this season of my life. And what's God say to Moses? He says, I have come down to bring them up. I want you to juxtapose those two phrases in Exodus chapter 3 because they reveal to us that's pretty much how God has always done it and continues to do it. Think of the Christmas story. God came down to us so that we could go up to him. You see, Jesus made a way because he came down. Aren't you glad God is a God who comes down so that we can go up? That was his plan. I have come down to deliver my people from Egypt in order to bring them up to the land that I have designed and set out for them. Even though we were dead in our trespasses and sins, we have been made alive in Jesus Christ and raised to be seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. God came down so we could go up. So God reveals to Moses as he begins to speak to him, this is how you approach me. This is who I am. This is my plan. And then he says to Moses, which he would say to us once he gets there, and this is the part I want you to play, Moses, in this plan. And the part that God wanted Moses to play is, I want you to lead my people out of bondage in Egypt. You're my leader. Now, again, remember, God had this in mind for Moses from the time he was born. That's why when Moses, his first objection is, who am I? It's like, what do you mean, who are you? Again, you're the perfect choice for this. That's where it's like we have to learn to trust God because He knows us even better than we know ourselves. And as we even sang that very last song, the story has yet to be written. Well, that's not just true about our future. The story of our life is so big, we can't even wrap our minds around all that God has done to bring us to this point. It's so absurd that we as mere mortals somehow question that God doesn't know what he's doing and somehow that he's making the wrong choice. God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't make wrong choices. If God is coming to you or to me and he's inviting us to be a part of something in his kingdom, then we are the absolute perfect best choice, or else he would have chosen somebody else. So he says, Moses, I want you to lead. I want you to lead. I don't know what it is that God may be stirring in your heart right now, inviting you to be a part of, calling you to be a part of in this season of life, but I know this. If he wanted somebody else, he would have called somebody else. He wants you. And your whole lifetime is an example of the providence, provision, preparation, and protection that God has placed over you to even bring you to this point, just as he did with Moses. And remember something else. Again, Moses is 80 years old when God calls him here. 80 years old. Now, again, I realize 80 in Moses' day or an 80-year-old Moses may not equate to 80-year-old today. But what it does teach us is this. We're never too old to be invited to do things for God. Never too young either, as we're going to see with Mary and Joseph. Never too old. So that means that as long as you got breath, God has a reason for you being here. God has a part for you to play. In fact, next week when we look at Joshua, same thing. By the time Moses dies and Joshua is called to lead God's people into the promised land, he's 80 years old. So where do we get off thinking in our culture, even as Christians, like I can just sort of get to a certain age and then I can just sort of skate home? No. You won't find that in the Bible. As long as God has us breathing, there's a reason for us to be here, or else he'd have called us home. And in this very personal, intimate encounter that Moses is having with God, not only is God teaching him how to approach him and who he is and what his plan is and what part he wants him to play, but he says one other thing in this passage that I want to leave with us today, because he would say the same thing to us too. When Moses objects in his first objection, if you know the story of Moses, you know this goes on for a while, this back and forth between him and God. And finally, Moses relents and he's willing to go. We know that's what happens. He finally says yes, right? But right after Moses says, "Who am I?" God doesn't sit there and argue with Moses about, "Well, if you only knew how I've been watching over you since you were born." He doesn't even go into that. You know what God says to him? "Surely I will be with you." In other words, God is teaching us here. If I'm with you, that's all you need. Sort of like what Paul says in the book of Romans. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God says, "I'm partnering with you, I'm with you, I'm always going to be with you every step of the way as you walk this out, Moses, I'm never going to leave you, abandon you, or forsake you, I'm with you," then that should be all we need. When God's presence is with his people, that should be all we need. He is sufficient. And so, again, I don't know what God has for you right now, but I know this, God has something for you. God has something he wants you to do to be a part of his kingdom right now in this season of your life. And God is hopefully stirring and moving. Hopefully, you're paying attention to God and that you don't need some burning bush experience. So keep listening and pay attention, because when God has our attention, He will begin to speak and reveal Himself and reveal His plan and reveal to each of us what part in His plan He wants us to play. My hope and prayer in the coming weeks, as we examine each of these calls of God upon people in the Bible, Old and New Testament, that each and every one of us will get to a place in our life we will say, okay, God, I'll do it. I don't see it, but then Moses didn't see it either. He didn't realize that his whole lifetime was a preparation for this moment, just as our whole lifetime is a preparation for what God has for us in each and every season of our life. Will you say yes to what God has for you in this season? I'm going to ask Nicole and our worship team to come. And while they're coming and getting settled on the platform, would you stand with me and join me in prayer? Father, I pray today, Lord, that each and every one of us, Lord, would first believe that you have something for us. Not for everybody else but us, but for us. And God, I pray that you have our attention this morning, our undivided attention, and that, Lord, we're listening as you speak to us. May you reveal more of who you are to us each and every day. And Lord, may we trust you more. May we realize, Lord, that every experience, everything that we've ever went through in our life, Lord, is not purposeless, but purposeful in your kingdom. You had a reason for allowing or bringing us through everything that you did. You've watched over us from the time we were born, just as you did Moses. Your providence has been the fingerprints all over us, God. You have provided, you have prepared, you have protected us all along the way to bring us to this point. God, may we simply yield to whatever it is you want for us in this season and from us in this season. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.